Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, everybody. This is a preview of today's members episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com. Hit the join button and become a member today.
Merkel Media.
This was all circulating around the base that a giant had been killed, but no one was supposed to talk about it.
I saw three long bony fingers reach up underneath the door, curl up to grab it, and then disappear.
When he came over to me, dude, he slithered over to me.
And this giant comes out of the cave and they're all frozen. And he starts running and firing at this giant. But the giant moves. He's got a spear in one hand and he's running really fast and spears Dan and holds him up like this. Somebody yells, shoot him in the face, shoot him in the face. They basically decapitate him.
Got closer. When he got about 15 yards away from me, I raised that 12 gauge and I blowed his head off.
I feel something pulling at my leg. And I look over and there are two small gray entities pulling at me. And they're literally, I'm getting pulled off the bed.
I reached my hand into this bush and I touch air. Couldn't breathe and I couldn't move because I know I'm seeing a monster.
Hey guys, as stated on Tuesday, I am taking some time off and we're bringing back Joel today to host the show for the members. He went in deep on the ancient lion men. He is a well-read, well-studied person. He's going to drop a lot of information on you today. So let's get to Joel right now.
What's good, everybody? This is Joel Thomas from Free the Rabbits podcast, and I am back guest hosting another episode of The Confessionals this week, and this is for the members only section. So I'm excited to bring some of my research to you, and I think it's going to be a fascinating episode today. I've done a lot of research on this particular topic, in all honesty, in different formats. And this is the first time I've brought it all together into one particular arena. And we're going to talk about the lion men. And we're going to talk about different types of lion men throughout history. And in my opinion, there are three different kinds. I would say the first kind would be the gods or the Elohim. The second kind would be the angels or Malachim, and then our third kind would be our hybrids or Nephilim. And we will talk about different versions of those. I will also suggest that they are not all evil as well, because I can prove this scripturally. And I've done an inordinate amount of research on the idea of good Nephilim. And if you'd like to check that out, go over to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts, or you can go to my YouTube channel at Free the Rabbits. And I've done about 5.5 hours on this good Nephilim theory. And one of those particular types of good Nephilim we will talk about today as well. So it's going to be an interesting topic for people that have an open mind. But again, it doesn't mean they're all good. And I think that especially when it comes to some of these gods that were worshipped, specifically in Egypt, that these were negative entities that were asking people of that time period to worship them as gods. And you'll see this throughout different cultures and different religions. And I think these gods existed. I think they were part of this divine council of gods that ended up being judged. And we're going to talk briefly about the idea of other gods, this pantheon of gods, which I think we see consistently throughout different cultures, Roman, Greek, Akkadian, Babylonian, we could go down the list. They all have these different types of hierarchies. Now, when you look at these different religions, they will espouse that whatever God they have at the top is the creator God. And I think that's just an inversion of what we know to be true with Yahweh being the one true God. And we know this throughout scripture where it talks about there shall be no other gods before me. And we're not talking about football, guys. We're not talking about money. That's not what was being talked about, especially when Noah brought the Ten Commandments. That was the first commandment. Do not worship any other gods. They were talking about literal gods, these Elohim. And where we get this idea from, we'll start in Job 38, 4 through 7. Where were you at my laying the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you possess understanding. Who determined its measurement? Yes, you do know. Or who stretched the measuring line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars were singing together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. When God laid the foundations of the earth, the sons of God were there. And these sons of God in this particular instance are talking about Elohim. These are the gods because the morning stars are denoting these Malachim, these angels. So I do think these are two separate types of beings, especially when we get into Thomas Aquinas, when he talks about angelology and the different types of angels. I know some people want to argue that the Elohim are angels, and I've heard those arguments, and I'm not saying that maybe, right? But I know from other theologists and researchers that the Elohim are denoted to be this type of being, these gods, what Yahweh is. So just look at it in the concept of there's a specific type of being that's considered an Elohim, and Yahweh is at the top of that. He created the other ones, and he created everything else after that. So he created other beings that are like him. So in Genesis, where he says, we will create man in our image, he's talking about this God image. We have this God imprint in us from Elohim, and from these other gods. Not that these other gods created us, but the DNA pattern that they have, we have the same type of DNA pattern within us too that Yahweh gave us. So that's the point I'm making early on here, that these Elohim are a specific type of being, and there's multiple types of being. This isn't polytheism, because clearly the Bible says, do not put any other gods before me. It's just saying that there are other gods that are in this same type of pantheon. Now, probably one of the most famous set of verses is Psalm 82. And most people will know this from Michael Heiser's dissertation on what these Elohim are, which if you haven't read The Unseen Realm, I encourage anyone to do so. But I am going to read the entirety of Psalm 82 so we get an idea of who these gods are. God presides in the divine assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. This is in the Berean Standard and the KJV, and the word is gods. And when you translate it, it says Elohim judge the Elohim. That's in the Hebrew. So Elohim can be used in the plural and in the singular, and you'll see this a lot in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew. Now, you'll have some people that will come and tell you that Elohim's only plural, and El was used in the Sumerian Ugaritic text, and this is their way of trying to say that the Bible is copying from these texts. I can tell you right now that that is not the case at all, that Elohim can be used in the singular and plural. So just know that here in Psalm 82, depending on the context, it's very similar to the word sheep. Sheep can mean singular and sheep can mean plural, depending on the context that it's used in. It's a very easy way for people to understand this. Verse 2, how long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless, uphold the rights of the afflicted and oppressed, rescue the weak and needy, save them from the hand of the wicked. This is Elohim, Yahweh, talking to these other gods and asking them, why are they showing partiality to the wicked? Why are they? Why are they helping the wicked? Why are they asking to be worshiped by human beings? He's asking them this question. They do not know or understand. They wander in darkness. So he's saying that you are causing these people to wander in darkness, the people of this particular time. This is the judgment that he's giving upon them. And I think sometimes people remember the first verse in Psalm 82, but they don't read the rest of it and understand he's literally breaking down the judgment on these particular gods. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I have said you are gods, Elohim, plural. You are all sons of the Most High. Here we go. These Elohim are created by Yahweh. You are sons of the God of the Most High. But like mortals, you will die. Like rulers, you will fall. So he is setting the judgment and the tone on them. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance. So that is the essence of Psalm 82, and that is the judgment that Yahweh is giving to these other gods. And you may ask, you know, why did I go through that? Well, I want to set the tone for these lion-headed gods that I'm about to talk about, specifically in Egyptian culture, that I believe that they existed. And I believe that they looked like what they presented themselves to be to the people of that time as these lion-headed gods. Now, that's not to say that there weren't angelic beings that also presented themselves as lion-headed gods, and Nephilim hybrids who also presented themselves as lion-headed gods. And I know it's hilarious to say, but it's so true, because I think that when it comes to false gods, that you have four types that we know about biblically. You have these Elohim, part of this divine council that broke away from God, that God caused judgment on. Here's a good way to look at it with how this could have happened with these Elohim. You may ask, well, why did they do this? Well, they have jobs, and their jobs are more than likely to help preside over certain areas, maybe not just locally, and by locally, I mean globally, but it could be over certain universes. We don't even know how this works. We have no idea how this works. But let's just say, for instance, there was one that was presiding over a certain region of Earth, and say that the people of that time knew of that God, and they started worshiping that God because they knew that that God was helping them out with stuff, and this God fell into the trap of being worshiped by these people. And then before you know it, they start leading them down a path of wickedness. I would consider Baal or Moloch in that category of gods who originally were good and then decided, because they were part of this Elohim, part of this divine council, that, hey, we're of the same makeup as Yahweh. Why don't we get some of what he gets? You know, they're not funneling the glory back to him. They just start taking it for themselves and then start creating their own rules. And that's essentially why Yahweh is judging them here in Psalm 82. But again, I just want to set this tone as we go into what these particular Egyptian lionhead gods were probably from. In my opinion, I think that they were probably from this Elohim category. Now, maybe they could have been angelic beings. That's a possibility too. I'm not saying that I know the answer to that, but when we're talking about a couple of these gods, I think that might be the answer to it. And we'll talk about one of them right now, Mahes, and it's spelled M-A-A-H-E-S. And he was an ancient Egyptian lion-headed god of war, whose name means he who is true beside her. He was seen as the god of the creator god Ptah, as well as the feline goddess Bast, whose nature he shared. And when you get into Bast, there is a lot of interesting rabbit holes to track down that way. And if you want to learn more about feline gods and cat gods in general, go listen to episode 2, Cats of the Gods, that I have up already on YouTube and Spotify and Apple Podcasts and all that. And I break down about where the modern day house cat came from, which before Egypt, they really didn't exist in a domesticated format. And all of a sudden, they just kind of appear at the same time that all these cat gods appear in Egypt. And some of these cat gods were lion-headed gods, and Mahis was one of those. The name of Mahis begins with the hieroglyphs for the male lion, although in isolation is also means one who can see in front. So not only was Mahis a war god, he could all seeing everything, according to the Egyptians. So this is just another idea of the all-seeing eye that is attributed to several different Egyptian gods. Now, some Egyptologists have suggested that Mahis was of foreign origin. Indeed, there is some evidence that he may have been identical with the lion god Apodemic, worshipped in Nubia in Egypt's western desert. And Mahis was also considered the son of Ra with the feline goddess Bastet, or of another feline goddess Sekhmet. So again, Mahis is kind of at the upper tier of these Egyptian gods. And back to, he could have been identical to the lion god Apodemic. Well, sometimes these gods masquerade in different areas, different regions with different names. Sometimes there are other Elohim that just take on the same traits and go to a different area and masquerade the same way. There's that idea too. Also, you'll see throughout history where these gods will take on different names as time goes too. So it's very convoluted, and we'll never know the true answer to all that. But let's just, for the sake of time today, we'll just say that these are part of this Elohim, these gods that are wanting people to worship them and do as they ask because they want all the glory, as opposed to funneling it back to Yahweh. Which, by the way, I think there were good Elohim that performed great acts for humans and were visible, but then wanted the people to funnel that glory back to Yahweh. So I want to be clear about that too. I think you've got two sides of the coin on that.
This was a preview of today's member episode. If you want to hear the whole thing, head on over to theconfessionalspodcast.com, hit the join button, and become a member today.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that one in four honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply. Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.